Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. We hope you're having a good Thursday out there. Seth and James here with you, and we've got great stuff coming up. We'll get into some entertainment news a little bit later. We're going to get into some other fun topics, too. We've got a good one about the things we Google about the oldest, youngest, and middle child. What TV workplace would you like to work at? We'll get into those things. But we kick off every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour with our great friends from the Southwood County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week. We have Sarah with us. Sarah, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Great to see you. Great to have you with us. Thank you so much for the time, Sarah. Before we dive into things over at the Humane Society, I had a story I wanted to share with you and our audience that I thought was tied in well. An Ohio man used the numbers from his beloved dog's license tag to play a pick five lottery drawing. And you know how this one ends. Won himself $50,000.
Hey.
Wow.
You see the power of having a dog? Do you see people?
Man, that I hope that dog got some really nice treats from that.
Right? Yeah, really good treats from that
nice
one.
Nice bed.
Yep, exactly.
Shout out to Robert Sowers of Tiffin, Ohio, and his wonderful dog. I was trying to find the name of the dog. It should be Lucky.
It should be lucky.
I mean, this feels like it was. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. Before we get into our Pet of the Week and some of the needs over at the Humane Society, I wanted to remind everybody that coming up at the end of September, you guys got a great 5K9, got a great event coming up.
Absolutely. We're getting started the Friday right before between 4 and 7. And then that Saturday morning, we kick off the walk.
It's going to be a fun walk. This is going to be not only a great opportunity for people to help out the Humane Society and do some good with the Humane Society, but have a good time, too. It's going to be a blast, this walk.
Absolutely. Registration, if you register before, you get a t-shirt, and we hand out WAG bags. And then if you miss the registration for the t-shirt pre, you could still register that day, but we'll instead of getting the t-shirt, you'll just get the WAG bag.
Yeah, and we encourage you to register. You can do that by going to SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. Find out more, and you can even see our Pet of the Week there and plenty of the other great animals over there. Mm-hmm. Again, September 28th over at Red Sands Pavilion at Lake Wasicha, the 5K9 Humane Society's walk. It's going to be a great time. We're going to be building up to that and making sure that everybody gets registered and you guys get a good turnout.
Tons of sponsors. Amazing sponsors.
Big, big thank you to all of the local businesses that put back into this community and help the Humane Society do the work that they are doing over there. Buy local, support those that support our nonprofits, everybody. Mm-hmm. I think I have I've made the audience wait long enough, Sarah. Who is our Pet of the Week?
We're going to do with Amaya. Ooh. She's a beautiful feline. The special thing about Amaya, though, is she has leukemia. Mm-hmm. So she's going to be a special cat, probably most likely for one single home. Mm-hmm. For the pet, she'll have her needs and such due to the fact that with the sneezing and the dripping from her nasals, you'll need to clean up after that so your other pets won't get infected. Mm-hmm. So most likely just the only pet, preferably. But she's beautiful. She's young. I am 4 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still got a lot of energy, a lot of enjoyment in her. One of the cutest faces I've ever seen on a cat.
I know.
That is a cute cat. That's a great face.
It is a great face.
She
even
seems
with that little marking right at the top
yes,
of her lip.
Yes, yeah. Sarah, I worked in a handful of shelters, but I don't have the experience that you and some of the staff they were over there. But I know when I was working at shelters, I usually was the last person on. So it was usually my job to do a lot of the cleaning and to make sure that the animals had their medications. Mm-hmm. And I found that the animals that needed special care like this, not every animal you meet has got one of the greatest hearts you'll ever meet, but these animals just have something extra in them. Mm-hmm. It's I don't want to say that they know that they're getting extra care, but because of that, they just seem to have more love to give. They seem so much more empathetic and sweeter, and that's saying something considering all these animals are like that.
Yes.
Do you notice that too with these animals?
Absolutely. We actually have quite a few, like in our back quarantine area, because we are so full. We have them in the back quarantine area, but there are a few others that have other needs that are needed. Some have, you know, one-eyed, that they can see through. The other eye is glossy just because that's the way they were born. Or they might have like a slight infection in their eye that causes them not to see. But they are super amazing animals. They love wholeheartedly.
Yeah, yeah. Find out about Amaya and all these other great animals over at the Humane Society today. And Sarah, before we wrap up, are there any special needs that you guys have over there that you could really use right now? I know that there's always something that we could help out with.
Always, always. We are still looking for puppy food, kitten food, adult dog food, and cat food. Due to the mass quantity, we still have many. We have many leaving, actually. This last month, we had a summer celebration, and we actually had 71 animals adopted out.
Woo! Wow!
Yes.
There's our good story of the day.
Yeah. Oh, wow. 71 Amazing. Animals.
I was going to ask you off air. I didn't want to put you on the spot. Oh,
no,
is that
okay.
Cool? Oh,
it is very cool. Very cool. But still, many still coming in and many still transferring over from foster. So those are our biggest needs right now for the animals, is just to be able to continue to feed them.
If people would like to drop an item off, if people would like to maybe even learn more about dog walking or something like that, should we send them to the website?
Absolutely. The one thing that I'm not 100% sure if we have on the website, we probably do, but we have opened up dog walking to the community. So please feel free to come down and walk the dogs. You don't have to sign up as a volunteer. We have a list. You just sign up and you can walk them anytime. We are open Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 11 to 6, and Saturday, 10 to 5.
I'll meet you there. I miss dogs. I got a fur brother, but he's my parents' dog. I want a dog.
We've got a lot of them, and they need a lot of love.
Find out about that and more at the SWCHS.com. And get your get registered for the 5K9 that is coming up again September 28th over at beautiful Red Sands Lake Wasicha over there. Make sure to be registered for that. Find out about Amaya. Find out about all of these great animals and ways that you can impact our Humane Society and help out and give a paw to the friends over there. You can find out more at SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. Give them a call at 715-423-0505, 423-0505. And visit them at 3621 64th Street North, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Sarah, we're already looking forward to next Thursday. Thanks so much. You have a good week.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
We'll have more fun coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Seth and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. We want to send a shout out to Sarah and our good friends over at the Southup County Humane Society and find out about Amaya and all these other great animals over there at SWCHS.com. Be sure to support our Humane Society, everybody. Be
Very
listening
nice.
Next Thursday for another Pet of the Week. Looking forward to that. Let's dive into some entertainment news, Seth. And Post Malone is dominating the country music world with his new album, F1 Trillion. And he just broke another very impressive record.
Oh, okay.
According to Billboard, Post Malone is the first person in music history to have a number one on the top country album chart, a number one on the top rap album chart, and a number one on the top rock and alternative chart.
Wow.
He had three number one rap albums, and he had a number one rock and alternative album with Austin, and now his number one country album, F1 Trillion, puts him in a category of one.
Wow.
So is this, I do believe that this will be him going into classic jazz next.
I love this. Hard bebop.
Yes.
That'd be hilarious.
I'm looking forward to hearing him cover, On Green Dolphin Street.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God, if you know that reference, thank you.
Yeah,
everybody.
That's
thank
awesome.
Thank you that knows that reference.
More obscure, the better.
So I wholeheartedly will admit, don't know Post Malone that well.
Me
don't
either.
Know much of his music that well. The thing that that it stands out, obviously, being able to do that in different categories is impressive. What is unimpressive to me is the fact that he's done this, and I haven't heard one squeak about it. I haven't heard one person whining and complaining like they did with Beyonce. Like, where's all the outcry?
Yeah.
How dare he do this? Country music is ours. They can't have this. They can't do that. Beyonce can't do this. Beyonce can't do that. But Post Malone can?
Yeah.
Does anybody notice a difference between Post Malone and Beyonce? Because I don't play that card at all.
No.
But when it's obvious.
When it's obvious.
Blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
Like, please, 715-424-2600, correct me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm not accurate about this.
Right.
But there is a big, big difference between these two artists, and it stands out very clearly of why nobody seems to be barking about Post Malone.
Doing hip-hop or rock or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's... I do think it's
quite interesting.
Yeah,
and I do think that it's a sign, not only a sign of the times, but it's where things are kind of gonna keep going.
Mm-hmm.
If you love your genre, whatever that might be, the way it is, get used to it changing.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever we're talking about, whether it's pop, rap, country, classical, jazz, I don't care what it is, they're all morphing together now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything our generation kind of was hoping for, was trying to do with, like, unlabeling music. And the idea, if you go into there used to be record stores, kids. There used to be stores where you went to buy your music.
That's right.
And when you went in there, everything was categorized. And it was overly categorized.
Oh, yes, it was.
And it was insane. And I never remember anybody growing up thinking, oh, this is great. Like, all of us just seemed to dislike that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of not only where Unlabeled's title comes from, the 90s mix show we play every Sunday.
That's right.
But where music, what we thought music was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are from the time of Young MC and the Red Hot Chili Peppers working together on Bust a Move. We're the generation of Run DMC and Aerosmith
Smith, right?
and Walk This mm-hmm. Way. That's us. And so this is something that we've been wanting for a long time, and here we are. And now that we're here, I love this. Again, I'm not a Post Malone guy. I'm not even a Beyonce guy. But I love the idea of these artists doing what... Look, Kurt Cobain put it perfectly. The Beatles didn't settle for I Want to Hold Your Hand. They wanted to evolve. They went from I Want to Hold Your Hand to Sgt. Pepper.
Yep.
Like, that's what artists do. That's what creatives do. If you're, you know, in this genre and you're kind of, this is all right, but I want to try that over there.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Go for it. Like, whether it's successful or not, I don't care. I think it's cool to see artists trying different things and everything.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
What I don't like is these so-called gatekeepers.
Mm.
These people that tell you, oh, you can't be in this genre.
Yeah.
You can't be in that genre. Like, obviously they can.
Yeah.
Like, and look, if you don't like it, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't stand music snobs, man.
Yeah.
These people that, like, no, you can't do this in that music. You can't do this in that music. Like, who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you to say, like, if you don't like it, go ahead and speak your opinion.
All right.
But as far as, like, barking down other people to like it.
This is something that we need to understand here. So there was a man who owned a studio in New Orleans, okay? New Orleans, you know, bed of so much American music, right?
Mm-hmm.
His name was Cosimo Matassa. And he owned a studio, and the reason he went into music is that his father owned a bar with a jukebox, okay? And it was right next to another bar. This was Louisiana in the 1940s and 50s. It was segregated.
Mm-hmm.
But people would go from... So that means that the jukebox had a certain kind of music at each bar. And he said, but the white kids, or the dance... I don't know if it was a bar. It was whatever it was. A place that played music, okay?
Yeah.
They had a jukebox. The white kids would go over to the black one and listen to the R&B on the jukebox. But there were also black kids that went into the country one to listen to country. This is not a, like, we you're right. We've tried to categorize this so hard for decades. And it's music. Louis Armstrong, the best musicians of all time. Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong. They would say, you know, music is music, okay? It's either you like it or you don't. It's either good or it's bad. That's it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where it comes from. It's just music.
I blame the Grammys. I blame the Grammys.
Which have a category for, like, everything. Yeah.
Literally everything. Seth and I have won a Grammy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's how many categories
we didn't even
have.
Know it.
We didn't, like, even know.
We didn't collect it or anything. It's just sitting out there.
You probably noticed that Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis did not return for Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, the sequel to Beetlejuice, coming out very soon.
Tim, you just said it three times, by the way.
I said it twice. Oh, did I? I did say it three times.
You say it three times. Where is he?
It's showtime. The ghost with the most. Basically, so Tim Burton explained why they are not in it. Basically, he had a story in mind that didn't involve their characters, and he didn't want to just shoehorn them into for the sake of it. Quote, I think the thing was, for me, I didn't want to just tick any boxes. So even though they were such an amazing integral part of the first one, I was focused on something else. He says the sequel will explain how their characters, the Matilds, found a loophole to let them leave the house.
Ah, okay.
Beetlejuice hits theaters next Friday, September 6th.
Okay.
I appreciate what he's saying there. There's also scheduling issues for Gina Davis, and Alec Baldwin is quite busy right now.
Alec Baldwin has kind of gotten radioactive.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to be seeing him much anymore.
And Gina Davis doesn't act very often
anymore. No, she's semi-retired. Yeah. I mean, she has not, just hasn't done because she doesn't want to. Yeah.
So I think this is him a little bit trying to save some face for them. Mm-hmm. And also trying to over explain something that really I don't know that many people were really wondering that loudly.
Right.
I thought it was a little bit of a little bit of a story twist, sure. But after that, I didn't really think much of it. I was just excited about the sequel to Beetlejuice.
Right. I'm sure there's hardcore Beetlejuice fans out there because every cult film has hardcore fans to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, for me, any kind of sequel, if you're going to do it right, you need to change things. You need to do things. And I know this is anathema to Hollywood. They got to get everything the same because it worked before.
Yeah,
it worked before. We got to, you know, you got to change things up and not bringing back certain characters. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Like passing the baton, doing something different. You don't even, I mean, you can do it. You can do it. But there's that hardcore fan base that's like, how can you do it? You can't have a Beetlejuice movie without blah, 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 blah. No.
I will admit I don't know if I'm a part of that fan base, but I'm right on the cusp of it. But they got the one that I wanted, Winona Ryder. All I cared about is Winona in it.
Which makes sense.
Michael Keaton in it. All
right,
cool.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, which makes sense because she was the young person. Now she's older, and you can do a very natural story that way. Yeah. It's like, you know, and I'm sure they worked that into the storyline and all that kind of stuff. But you don't need every single person back in the thing. You don't need to do that.
I think it's almost an adaptation of the original. The sequel is almost kind of like just a pulling of the story. You know?
That is a great way of putting it. An adaptation of the original, which is, to me, why? That's boring.
Yeah.
Why would you just adapt what you did before? Yeah, I know it was financially successful.
Especially when it was already good the way it was.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to remake The Goonies. The Goonies was fine the way it is. You know, that kind of thing. Now, you want to do a sequel? I really am tired of prequels. But you want to do a sequel, I'm all right with that. But a remake, a prequel, audiences are so done with those.
it really seems that they are.
This
might be interesting to see what happens financially with this one.
Yes, exactly. I'm just as curious to see it as I am to see how it does box office wise. Wrapping up, there are a lot of noise out there about celebrities and you know, who are easy to work with, who aren't. This is one of those things that I pay a lot of attention to, only because I work in this industry and I've worked with a number of people. I've been very honest about this. Amy Adams, Christopher Maloney, Robert Downey Jr., some of the people that I've been fortunate enough and very humbled to be around. I don't even want to say work with. I've just been around and did a read through with or something like that. Couldn't be nicer. Couldn't be more genuinely amazing people that are just human beings.
Yeah.
Just human beings that happen to be famous.
Right. And I'm sure they have bad days too. I mean, just like everyone else does.
Absolutely. I may have the one little bit I was around Russell Crowe may have been that.
Yeah.
Because exactly. Russell Crowe hit on every, like, if you had a diva bingo, Russell Crowe hit all of them.
Bingo.
So there's both sides of this and everything. Mm-hmm. But there is also something to be said for how you treat people. And one thing I actually don't mind about cancel culture these days is the idea of, hey, again, just like I was saying with flying, this is not a birthright. It's a privilege to have these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't appreciate that, there is 1,000 people behind you that will take that job.
Love it. Love to take that job.
Ask James Corbin about that. What's her name? Ellen about that.
Oh, Ellen DeGeneres, yeah.
It matters how you treat people. Mm-hmm. It matters how you treat people when nobody's watching.
Yes.
And the chickens come home to roost. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because, again, these jobs are a privilege. You mm-hmm. shouldn't be in that job if you're a jerk. I just plain, bluntly. Like, there are billions of people in the industry that right. are good people. So I think it's good to call these artists out. And hopefully, if they're any good, they actually take a look in the mirror and realize what they're doing and maybe appreciate what they have and right. they continue on in their careers.
Adjust the way they treat other people.
So BuzzFeed put together a list of celebrities who are rude or difficult to work with according to the employees and co-stars they have worked with. These are all noted. These are all, there's mm-hmm. none of these that are. It's hard to say there are facts or science behind this, but as close as you can get to that,
right.
there is with these artists.
And, you know, with other actors, you know, peers with them, that might be a little difficult or different because they may have to work with them again, that kind of thing. But when you get crews and stuff, I think those people would tend to be a little more honest about the way they were treated because, you know, they're considered, I mean, I don't consider them, but they're considered lesser than the
yeah.
talent, right? You know, but which is not true. Without them, nothing would get done. But
this is not in any particular order. It's just in, you know, it's just names. Jennifer Lopez is here with, she has a list of demands. When she performed for the World Video Music Awards, she requested a custom speedboat, diamond encrusted headphones, and a helicopter on standby. I don't even know what to say to that.
Diamond encrusted headphones. Why? Because you can. That's got to yeah. be because you can request
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason to do it.
I would I'm gonna get in trouble here. But look, Jennifer Lopez has more has sold more albums than I'll ever sell. Has done more movies than I may do mm-hmm. or any of this. But the talent doesn't meet the the demands. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. Like yeah. not that if you are amazingly talented, you mm-hmm. should have demands like this. But I mean, I would be there sitting there looking at that list like, okay, well, my demand is you bring your A game. My demand is you bring your hits.
Like, yeah, right.
Jimmy Fallon. Last year, he was accused of creating a toxic work environment on The Tonight Show and having erratic behavior behind the scenes. This has gone on since Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Because Saturday Night Live is such a family and they spend so much time together, you're not going to hear a lot of people that worked with Jimmy Fallon on SNL talk a lot of trash about him. Mm-hmm. But over the years, there was a lot of notes, not only about him struggling with some alcohol and addictions there,
yeah.
but him just being not like... taking it, learning his lines or taking rehearsals seriously. A lot of these things. When you only have a couple of days to put on a show, you've got to bring your A game. You've got mm-hmm. to bring your professionalism. Jimmy Fallon made a career out of breaking. And that's it. That's what else? What else, other than being a wannabe poor man's Adam Sandler, bringing out his guitar during Weekend Update or something like that, all he's known for is laughing during sketches and breaking sketches.
Right.
In the Tonight Show gig is a coveted job. It used to be before he ruined it. It used to be a coveted job
right.
in Late Show in the industry. And it's not just him. A lot of people have pulled away from late night television
as
well. Of
course. A lot of reasons, but yes.
But what he's created on that show, people don't want to work with him. Like, guests come on there because they have to.
Right.
That you don't see return, Matt Damon and what's his name on ABC?
Oh, Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel, things like that.
Right.
People don't do that with Jimmy Fallon. Mm-hmm. Like, they just don't. The only person that did was Justin Timberlake, and he's toxic, too. Like, Jimmy Fallon is not only, I think, done... Like, there's William Shatner that I always say has done more with less than anybody mm-hmm. ever has, and I say that as a compliment. And then there's guys like Jimmy Fallon that I just don't get it. I don't understand how he's kept this job. Ellen lost her job because of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Why has he kept it? When there's actually even more evidence against mm-hmm. him than there was against her.
Yep.
Doesn't make sense to me. Julia Roberts. Steven Spielberg says she was difficult to work with on Hook. The crew referred to her as Tinker Hell.
Yeah, I remember that one. To be fair, this is like the one that I've heard of. I have not really heard a lot about other shows or projects she's been on that she was terrible. This is like the one. So this might have just been a bad thing. I mean, she was going through a tough time. Who knows? I mean, now you shouldn't take it out on your fellow yes. employees.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's. But to be fair, we have bad. Everyone has bad days. Everyone has off days. So I don't know. That's just one example. So
she, there was a lot of heat on the Pelican Brief with Denzel, and a very noteworthy with her and Nick Nolte in that movie. I can't think of the name of it right now, but those two were. It got so bad with that movie and filming that they couldn't even be on stage. They had to let them know at the very last second, hey, we need you, and they would be on set together.
Right.
Otherwise, they wouldn't. Both of them did this back and forth thing for, hey, is Julie on set yet? I'm not going out there until she is. And she would do the same thing to Nick Nolte. If you notice something, too, you didn't see a lot of Julia Roberts after Hook. You didn't see a lot of her in a lot of movies after that. Like, these things, it matters in the industry. Mm-hmm. Whether it matters to their fan bases or anything like that, I think it does and it doesn't. Until, you know, they pick and choose these things.
Right.
But it definitely matters in the industry.
Sure.
And just to make sure that I'm on the up and up here and everything, I'm going to mention a name of a gentleman that I really like and I really looked up to, and Bill Murray. I was a big fan of Bill Murray. Still am a big fan of Bill Murray. Bill Murray, he has a history of causing drama on set.
Yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss called him an Irish drunken bully when making What About Bob? There has
Dreyfuss, you should talk. But still.
Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss, we could spend a half an hour on how hard he is to work with, too. And again, talent level not meeting the expectations on Mr. Dreyfuss's career. Justin Bieber is another one.
Yep.
Bill Hader and Jay Farrell say that he was the worst guest to work with on set. Saturday Night Live, their whole run. Bill says Justin was probably in a bad place when he hosted in 2013. So to your note, Seth, you don't always meet these people at the top of in their moods and everything. But it's an interesting list. And interesting to see that almost all of these names we mentioned, really you see a peak in their career and then all of a sudden almost a drop, complete drop off. And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, it does happen.
People go to see movies in part because they know something or they like the people in these movies.
Yep.
So this
is why we have stars.
Does add up. We're going to get to our state, local, and sports news, take care of our partners, and come back. And we want audience participation. We're bringing it back. TV workplaces you would like to work at or you wouldn't like to work at. We'll open it up. Yeah, and both of them. On the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a great Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve.
Indeed.
In a little bit, Seth and I are going to get into the top things we Google about the oldest, youngest, and middle child. That's a big one. That's a big topic.
I
don't know if we have time for that one.
Has that been studied up, down, and left and right? My goodness.
Might have to save that one for Melissa, you and I. but we'll see. We'll get into that. We'll get into some stuff to take you to the top of the hour, because right now we're getting into TV workplaces you would like to work at or not work
or
at. Let us know. 715-424-2600. You can text us or call in through the Civic Media app. And thank you to everybody for downloading the app. We appreciate it.
Yes.
That. So, Seth, there's an interesting list here. And they ranker.com put this list together, and they did actually rank these according
votes. All right.
And the number one vote getter was the Pawnee Parks and Recreation Department from Parks and Recreation. I think in part because it's got a recent history.
Yes, that's
so
true.
So it's fresh in people's heads. And the cast made the that look like it was such a fun time.
did they though? No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's a good question.
It seemed like an awful lot. It wasn't that thrilling to work there,
there were plenty of times. Yeah. I love that show. And if you told me I got to work with Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman,
yeah.
You have me right there. Like, there's no
Chris
competing
Pratt,
with
you
that.
Know, yes, great cast. Yes, yeah.
There's so many great actors on that show. Audrey Plaza.
Yep.
Adam Scott is the one I was trying to think of. Adam Scott. Adam Scott. So that seems like a fun one. Cheers came in number two.
Okay.
Absolutely. understandable. Cheers. Everybody knows your name.
By the way. There's no bars that look that nice.
No.
Considering it was supposed to be kind of like not a dive, but you know, it's not like a bar and grill. It was a bar, you know, in Boston. Come on.
I always thought the setup of the bar was so cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that you go down the stairs, like it's below. I always thought that was
underneath
really, really
a big
cool.
Building. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also really like creatively, like they didn't have to do that. They could have made it a lot easier.
Just a regular
on
bar. Yeah.
And just put it on. I just always loved the construction of that. Mm-hmm. And in my head, when they'd go upstairs to the restaurant or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, right.
I always liked that. It was like a fun show. Brooklyn Nine-Nine shows up on here from the 99th Precinct.
a cop show. That's kind of surprising to me. I don't know, because I think a lot of police officers are born and not made. You know, people that just really take to it better than others. But, yeah.
Dunder Mifflin, The Office.
No. No. Are you kidding me? That's an awful place to work.
I watched every minute of that show. I love that show. No. No. I would not last 5 minutes with Michael Scott. Not five minutes.
With a boss like that, no way.
Imagine Jim, but even more sarcastic. Like, that's me. Exactly. And I have no interest in Pam working the front desk.
I don't think you'd be there very long. Either you'd quit or you'd get fired, but yeah.
I only say that because I don't really look at workplace people that way. Not because of her. She's amazing. She's beautiful. Yeah. She was a very funny actress. Perfect for the part.
Yep.
I don't mean it's not personal, just more of how I approach workplace. And Bob's Burgers from Bob's Burgers.
No, that one I think would be all right.
If I could work with H. John Benjamin, I'll do anything. Yeah, I don't care. Central Perk from Friends shows up on the list. That's the coffee shop, I'm guessing.
Yes, that was the coffee shop. To be fair, a lot of famous people ended up there.
Oh, yeah.
So that'd be kind of cool, you know, if famous people came in, you know. Hey, look, there's Joan Jett, you know.
Right. Abbott Elementary, the school Abbott Elementary from the TV show Abbott Elementary.
I just love the fact that we have a show about school teachers that's, they've done it before, but it's been not, this is more honest.
Yes.
At least probably one of the most honest shows about being a teacher while still being very funny. I mean, there's a lot of great humor in it as well, but it's all based on, man, it's tough being a teacher. It really is.
And you don't even have to take Seth and I's words for this. The National Teaching Institute, so many other teachers have raved about this show and how it gives an insight that no show has ever done.
Right.
Quintina Brunson is amazing.
She's something else.
And she is just as talking about, again, people that are off stage and on stage, how they are. She's sweeter off stage. Like, she is just an incredible, like, creative.
Right.
She is such a good collaborator. Mm-hmm. She is so good at working with other people. One of the best I've ever seen at, I've got a great joke, but I want you to work on it with me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're taking a writing credit of it. You came up with one word, but you're getting a writing credit for it or something. Like, that's just great. Incredible artist.
Plus an amazing cast.
Yeah, yeah, it is great, amazing cast. The Springfield Nuclear Power Plant from The
God,
Simpsons.
No.
Now, obviously, I am biased about this one, it being my favorite show of all time, The Simpsons. You would think I would immediately jump on this. No.
The only thing that would make it okay is Lenny and Carl.
Yeah.
Because that, at least would they be would fun. Be fun. Yeah, but other than that, they do working for that. Mr. Burns? I don't think so.
I could handle working with Homer. I could handle covering Homer's butt when he's, you know, sleeping on the job or anything. But Mr. Burns, I don't know. I don't think I'd work well with that guy. Now, what they missed the mark on, I feel like, is at The Simpsons, Moe's.
See, now that would probably be more fun.
I'd work at Moe's, man. I'd work with Moe,
even though he's very grouchy and, you know, but still, you know.
I would just make sure he was answering the phone. I'd just make sure. Hello, hey, anybody seen
Amanda Hug and Kiss? Why can't I find Amanda Hug and Kiss?
One of my favorite bits in TV history is the prank calls to Moe. Good morning, you're on the show.
All right, I gotta give you the best one right now.
All right.
And you're probably going to know which way I'm going to go here. King of Queens.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
Not bad.
I had it in my head, Kev. We are on the same page.
Yep.
And that's a funny one. Kev, of course, does a very similar job to that they did on King of Queens.
Yes.
It's a good fit for you.
Well, you know, I have had people tell me that I have looked like Kevin James also.
Yeah, sure.
Very true. Yeah, yeah.
Kev, this brings up something interesting to me that I wish more TV shows did and put a highlight and focus their main character in a job that we've never seen before. I don't know that there's another TV show that really focused on like packaging or delivery or the mail industry or any of those things. I don't think we've really seen much of that in TV.
No, I actually tell you the truth, I don't think you really have. I mean, it's which is kind of crazy because you can really make some good shows on the package. I mean, I could probably make a show of what I've seen and done and things like that. So.
Well, and especially now where it's five times what it used to be as far as delivery services and everything. Yeah, I would think that you could create a show almost easily based on that or just following Kevin around. I mean, you could do that easy. It's always good talking to you, man. Thanks so much. Safe travels out there.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Best listeners in
plus,
radio.
Hey, King of Queens, your best friend is Patton Oswalt. So, hey, that's not a bad thing either.
That's a good right there. That's pretty good. I maintain that TGS or 30 Rock is probably the one I would pick, in part because my dream job is Saturday Night Live.
Right.
It's based on that. Seth, do you have an answer? Do you have somewhere where you would like to work, where you wouldn't like to work?
You know, this one just popped in my head just a couple of minutes ago. I think Murphy Brown.
Ooh.
The TV station on Murphy Brown, I think that would be fun.
I brought this one up with Melissa.
Hanging around with Candace Bergen, you know, who I mean, she was really good on the show, but she's like that in real life. She's hilarious. She's funny.
A big, big Candace Bergen fan. I always forget the name. It was a perfect cast, Murphy Brown. Mm-hmm. The person that she did there, the main anchor.
Yeah, the anchor, show. Right. I forget his name, but yeah.
I can't think of him either. He was perfect. He was so perfect in that role.
Probably just, I mean, or like Mary Tyler Moore, another TV thing like that. Ted Knight, who was just... that's the same kind of vibe where those guys, the dumb anchor dude, you know, which Ted Knight played to perfection, by the way. But
I feel like if I had showed up on Murphy Brown's show, it would have been as one of her secretaries, one of the many, many secretaries that she had over the years.
That was always fun for cameos.
It's a great bit. Yeah. It's a great bit. That's a good one right there. That's a good one. And we'll keep this going, everybody. I don't care what day it is. 2 months from now, you think of one, call up and let us know. There's no real bad answers. It's a fun list. We'll come back and we'll wrap up the show, the morning show on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day.
Seth and James here with you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. We're getting to our schedule and some good stories of the day in just a moment. Talk about some local events and different things going on. We're looking forward to diving into all of that. Mm-hmm. Seth, I want to wrap up our show with some good stories.
All right, let's do it.
We usually do That Ain't Right stories in this spot and everything. We're getting towards the weekend. Let's get people in a good mood for this Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
And go over some good stories of the day. A study found gratitude is on the rise. Feelings of thankfulness plummeted during the pandemic, but they've been rising ever since. Over half of Americans say that they regularly feel grateful for stuff.
That's good.
The same study...
grateful for stuff is very vague, but I like that.
It is. But the study goes on, and it is a bit vague, but the study goes on to talk about how, and I want to make sure I get this right, 76% of Americans are tired of divisiveness.
76, wow.
Over half of Americans are tired of things that pull us apart, that separate us. Looking to be, much like we were talking about with music, they're a little tired of over-categorizing.
Yeah, right.
A little tired of being separated when we have more in common than not.
Yes.
That is, both things are good to see.
Being in a state of separation, I think, is a lot harder, takes some more energy, and is more exhausting than getting along. Yeah. You remember the old saying, you know, fewer muscles to smile than to frown, right? Well, I think this is related to that.
How many times my mother said that to me growing up?
I don't even know if it's true, but the sentiment is good. And I think that's kind of what people are looking at right now. Let's take the not quite so exhausting path. How about that?
If it isn't true, I got some words with my mom. No, I think I do.
Right.
A woman in Rhode Island jumped into a river to save a rabbit during the 4th of July, and the footage has come out.
Oh, wow.
It's made the rounds. She got a big cheer from the crowd, and then a boat picked her up. She had a hard time climbing in, but refused to abandon the bunny.
Wow. That's cool. That's great. That's so cool.
And another new study found that being grateful can help you live longer. It tracked almost 50,000 seniors.
Wow.
And found the ones who scored highest in gratitude tests had a 9% lower risk of dying from any cause. So being good and feeling being thankful can actually help you live longer.
Do you think maybe it has to do with feeling less stress? Maybe a little less, you know, anxious, maybe just thinking about good things that have happened and being thankful for the good things that have happened that, you know, I don't know if the science behind it, but that would seem like it, something like that.
Seems good to me. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I think you hit it on the head, man. Syracuse University is working with a charity called Guided Eyes for the Blind to let students train seeing eye dogs.
Ooh, cool.
Two students are currently training a one-year-old black lab and a four-month-old yellow lab.
Okay, nice.
They're allowed to live with them in student housing, and they'll be able to attend college basketball games to help them get used to large crowds.
Which happens a lot with seeing eye dogs. Yeah, absolutely.
That's really cool.
That is very cool.
Also feels like something we probably should have been doing a long time ago. Like, you know, like I feel like blind people should be in on this and like kind of
you think. You know,
anybody. But that's cool nonetheless. And speaking of animals, another good story of the day we had earlier in the hour when we were joined by Sarah and our friends from the South Oconee Humane Society. Our pet of the week was a Maya. Be sure to find out about Amaya. But I want to focus on what Sarah was talking about with how many adopted animals they'd recently had.
Wow, what a story.
Over 70
71,
animals.
Yeah.
That's impressive. And a shout out to this community and to all our neighboring communities. Mm-hmm. Help your Humane Society wherever you are at and find out about our local Humane Society, SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. Be sure to reach out to them on Facebook or wherever you need to maybe get in some dog walking or drop off some animal food, or get yourself a new best friend.
So many ways you can help.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to be an animal lover. You just say, hey, here's some dog food. There you go.
Taking a look at our schedule, stick around, everybody, because we've got Matt and Air on air coming up. Mm-hmm. 10 to noon, that show rocks you, takes good care of you, and you have some fun. Be sure to join them for that one. A little bit later, the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4. Be sure to join us for that. Maggie, one of the more important voices in audio, in radio, period. And does a great job with that show, by the way, too. She's a lot of fun. And from 4 to 5, Monday through Friday, join us for Midday Magazine. Today, in part one, we're talking with Nathan Black, PhD District Administrator with the School District of Nakusa.
Very good.
And we're going to talk with our great friend Janelle Weir, Horticultural Educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension, Marathon County, Wood County Extension.
That was good. Hey, that wasn't bad. By the way, if there's such things as rock stars in horticulture, Janelle is one.
Yes. She's 100%, amazing. 100%. God, I love talking to her. That's going to be a fun conversation a little bit later. Mm-hmm. We also want to remind you that our farmer's market is going strong right now. Mm-hmm. 8 to 2 over at 221st Avenue South. Check out our farmer's market. Support our vendors. Support local.
Yep.
And have some fun over there. And keep in mind, if you can't make it today, Saturday they'll have it as well. 8 to 2 over 221st Avenue South.
It's going to be beautiful this weekend, so make sure you make it over for that.
Get on over there, everybody.
Yeah.
And we got one more lunch by the river. One more.
This is it. Summer's over, man.
Yeah.
Summer is over.
This is the last one. Enjoy lunch by the river. Head on over there. Enjoy. Have some fun. You've got entertainment from Klein Creek. And if you get a chance and you see Lacey or any of the other chamber members, thank them. Wish them a good one. And tell them how much you're looking forward to next year.
Yeah. It's one of the coolest things we do. Over the summer here in Rapids. It's just really cool.
Check out Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor, live music at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center from 2 to 4 today. And say hi to Pete for us, everybody. Yes. Seth, you've got some stuff.
Yeah, our good friends over at Edge Arcade, VR Arcade and Gamers Lounge, are having a car, truck, bike, and race show coming up this weekend on Saturday the 31st from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. They're located at 3540 Plover Road in Wisconsin Rapids. They're right next to Skate City. If you need a landmark to go there, come join them for the first annual car, truck, motorcycle, and race vehicle show. No cost to enter. Come hang out, listen to music, have fun, show off your ride, and check out the now open Edge VR Arcade and Gamers Lounge. We have been there. They have been here. They are awesome. The whole staff, Christy and Tom, man, they are awesome. They make it so easy to learn. Now, getting into VR is a little more complicated than you might think, but they make it so easy to try it out, man. And this is what this is all about. They're going to have VR demonstrations from 10 to 2:30. They're also going to have their free race car simulator from 11 to 2:30 as well, which is very cool. James can talk about that. He played that a little
bit. It's a lot of fun.
There'll be pizza and soda available for purchase inside the building, and a plaque will be awarded to the People's Choice Best in Show, whatever vehicle the people like the most. And it's a great way to check out a really cool new business in town.
And Seth, we wanted to bring up something that's coming up in your neck of the woods, not too long from now.
No, that's on September 7th at 8 a.m. over at the First Congregational UCC Church, 311 2nd Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. It is their 1.5 mile walk to raise funds for Southwood County Schools to pay off student meal debt. It's the walk-off debt walk. Walk off down. I added the extra walk on there. It's not really what they call it. Walkers are asked to collect donations from their faith community, friends, and animal. I almost made him do a spit take there, by the way.
It came out my nose. The coffee came up my nose.
Checks can be made out to the Port Edwards United Methodist Church. The money will be donated to area schools to pay off meal debts. Cash, of course, is also accepted. Once again, this is Saturday, September 7th at 8 a.m. over at the First Congregational Church, 311 2nd Street South.
I think that coffee hit my brain.
Yeah. It's bubbling in his brain now.
I tried to not let it shoot out my nose. It had to go somewhere. I think there's coffee.
Maybe it'll help. I don't know.
Is that bad? Can you have coffee in your brain? I got to find that out. We'll figure that out. That was great. Thank you for that, Seth. Thank
no
you.
Problem.
And thank you all to best listeners in radio for joining us, calling in. We appreciate you. Have yourselves a great day. We'll meet you back here tomorrow. Terry Johns and I will get you ready for the weekend. The morning show here at WFHR.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.